Praise God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Notice, he will pour out his spirit, and he will make known his words when you turn and start paying attention. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. In other words, you didn't consider his counsel as anything. As nothing. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me. How many knows when trouble is there? That's when people start calling on the Lord. You know, when the whirlwind's coming, and when destruction is coming, and desolation is there, and distress is in the land, and fear is everywhere, people start calling on the name of the Lord. But when everything's okay, nobody wants to call on the name of the Lord. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. I heard a preacher one time preach, oh boy, in the tribulation, people are going to get saved like everything, because they're going to see all this destruction coming. And I heard him preaching, and I went up to him later, and I wrote him a note, said, you're wrong. And I gave him scriptures like these. And I said, in the book of Revelation, it tells you plainly, they're going to shake their fist at God. They're not going to repent. The Bible clearly tells you in more than one place in Revelation, they are not going to repent. They are going to curse God. And they're going to know that God's doing all this destruction. They're going to curse God. No, this is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. This is the hour of knowledge and wisdom and understanding in the things of God. But the time is coming, once this has been rejected and accepted by those that made the right choice, there's not going to be any chance for anyone. Plainly, the Word of God says, in that time, the angel will stand in one foot in the earth and one foot in the sea and declare that time shall be no more, and that's going to be it. They will need no more grace offered. And this scripture here is saying, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock you when your fear comes. And when all this stuff happens, you're going to call on me, but I'm not going to answer you. You're going to seek me early, but I'm not going to be found. And the reason for this, verse 29 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. See, the Lord is saying, listen, there's a time you can hearken, but then there's going to be a time when nothing is going to happen for you. And this is the hour of visitation. This is the time when God's people need to be turning to the Lord, not waiting until fear comes, not waiting until destruction comes, not waiting until trouble comes. For the Word of God plainly says and clearly says to me and you that that time, when that comes, you can turn to the Lord, but he's not going to hear you. Well, he gave you opportunity. But listen, he's talking about knowledge. He's talking about how fools hate knowledge. And then he says, for they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. He's talking about a knowledge that is being given, whereby that knowledge of God will bring you to a place in God, amen, that when destruction comes, when the trials do come, you will have power because of the knowledge that God is imparting to you through the Word of God. Amen? Now, in Isaiah 5, verse 13, and you don't have to go to all these scriptures if you don't want to. I printed out a few of them here. But Isaiah 5, verse 13 says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. They went into captivity because they have no knowledge. Do you realize captivity today is being made captive by the devil? People have been made captive by the devil because they don't have knowledge. They're being captured. Their minds are being captured. They have been brought into a place of a snare because they didn't have knowledge. What we're trying to do is bring knowledge, the knowledge of God, to people. Amen. That's why it's important. It's like when we're having a conversation. If you're speaking to me, then I'm going to look at you and I'm going to pay attention to what you're saying. Because, first of all, I'm going to honor you in what you're saying. I'm going to respect you in what you're saying. And I'm going to show that honor and by that respect by paying attention to you of what you're telling me. Amen. And vice versa. I mean, that's the way it is when you carry on a conversation. If I'm carrying on a conversation with you, or you're speaking to me, and I'm looking all over here, and I'm looking up here, and I'm looking around right here, you know what signal you're sending to that person? You don't give a care what they're saying. You don't care. It doesn't. It's not important to you. You know, and I can tell you, it's like last night, we had a lot of visitors in here, and some of them came because they were hungry for God. Others came just to maybe cause a problem. You know, because maybe they're, you know, and I'm not saying the people are the problem, but they've got a bad spirit maybe. And then all of a sudden, you know, some people on my right side get up and went out. Some people on my left went out because of something they had to do. But you know what everybody else was doing? They was looking this way and they was looking that way. They was looking up. They was looking down. They was looking all around. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what anybody in this audience is doing. It matters what's coming from this pulpit. That's what matters. That's what really matters. It doesn't matter because people are going to walk out. People are going to reject knowledge. People are not going to pay you any attention. But see, there are some people there that are going to pay you attention. Amen? And that might be just one or two people. It might be one here or one there, three over here or five over there. It doesn't matter if it's just one person that's going to receive what thus saith the word of God is and built upon that. That's the most important person in the whole room as far as I'm concerned. Amen. But see, you can't control everybody. You can control every situation. I found that a long time ago. I'm not going to let no devil bind me up. I'm not going to let no devil mess with my mind. Amen. When I first started out with the Lord, when somebody would get up like that, you know what I said? I said, where are you going? You know, and I would tell, I said, that's rude to stand up and walk out when a man's speaking to you. But you know, I don't do that anymore because I know the devil is capturing people's minds. I just let them do what they want to do. Amen. But see, the important part of the whole thing is there is a message coming forth in this hour. And there's not many people that have that message. And the message is all about the knowledge of God. Comprehending, understanding what God is doing through us, through you, and in the world today. And we've got to build on this knowledge, amen, and be able to, look, the things I'm preaching, I'm going to walk in. I'm trying my level best, amen. You know, casting down imaginations, every thought, all these things, you know. I'm bringing every thought into captivity of Christ. I'm doing that. With everything within me, I'm letting my mind be stayed upon the Lord. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter if I sleep 3 hours a night or not. I'm going to get my mind stayed upon the Lord and the word of the Lord and what his work is and what he wants me to do. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all, amen, come into that, what we're talking about, is coming into a relationship with God deeper and greater than any of us have ever experienced before. And it is a knowledge of God that will bring you to the place the Apostle Paul was called up into the third heaven, given things unlawful for a man to speak. He was able to come into that dimension because he gave his whole self to God. You can read about all the old timers, and you can read about, amen, Jack Cole, and you can read about all these different men of God. But I'm telling you, they had a great word. They did great works. But look at their life. Look at the dedication they had. Look at the consecration they had. Look at their prayer life. Look at their way they fasted. Look at the way they traveled. Look at the way they were willing to give their very lives for the cause of Christ. Amen. This is where we're going to. This is the level that God is calling all of us to. A level of total consecration and dedication to the cause of Jesus. Amen. In the world today. I believe God's bringing a people up, amen, that's going to absolutely travel the entire world. And I believe Brother Chad's one of them. He's going to travel the entire world. We're going to go into all the world. Amen. Not like all the other preachers have done. Not like all the other entertainers have done. But we're going to travel through the world bringing a message of Jesus. Amen. Of the Word of God and the knowledge of God to a lost and a dying world. There are people that are hungry for what we're talking about. They're hungry for a word like this. They've never heard a word like we've talked about. Amen. So what we're doing, we want to understand that, yes, there is knowledge being offered. But there's people that's going to reject that knowledge. The Word of God is plain. Everybody's not going to accept the knowledge of God. I could get up here and I could preach about Noah. Amen. I could preach about Jack and the Beanstalk. They don't care. You know, I could bring a message about Jack and the Beanstalk and jump up and down every once in a while. Everybody shout, praise God, glory to God. That's right. They have no clue what's being said. Amen. But I don't have a Jack and the Beanstalk message. I have very few Little David and the Giant messages. I don't have no Sunday school messages. Amen. All I have is what the Lord has put in me. Amen. And that's all that's going to come out of me. Praise God. And I believe what the Lord is doing, He is imparting knowledge, a knowledge of Him. He said, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. People have been made captive of the devil. Because they have no knowledge. They've accepted these things because they have no knowledge of God. And then verse 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, because they had no knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Because it wasn't the fact they didn't, that knowledge wasn't available. It was simply a fact because they rejected knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. In Jeremiah it says, chapter 3, verse 15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. See, through it all, God has said, hey, I'm still going to send pastors to you. I'm going to send men of God to you that's going to feed you with understanding, that's going to give you wisdom, that's going to give you knowledge, that's going to minister the Word of God to you, that you might be built up in the faith, praise God. See, God's intent is to bring people knowledge and wisdom. I'm telling you what, all the shouting is great. Amen. All the little preaching. Sunday school message is great. But listen, we cannot stay children, babies in Christ. We have got to grow up and be mature sons of God. And the only way to reach maturity, praise God, and perfection is through the knowledge of God. Amen. You know yourselves, in this area that we're in, most of the meetings have no word of God preached in it. Coming that way, even down to the south, amen. Preachers coming in and having messages, but they're not messages about the Word of God. They're storylines, amen, that they get off the internet and they get off little books and everything. And they're just telling little stories that sound good, and it's a happy story. And I have no problem with a happy story. But what about the knowledge of God? And then when a person begins to bring the knowledge of the Lord and the knowledge of what God has done for them and the knowledge of what God wants to bring them into, they look at you like with a big blank stare like, what in the world are you talking about? Because they are not being taught the Word of God. It's just as simple as that. And then when the knowledge is being given, they have the opportunity to choose whether they receive that knowledge or they want to reject that knowledge. That has nothing in me. My influence, my power over any person, amen, only extends to the place that I can preach the Word of God to them. Amen. My authority over myself, amen, and over you even, my authority stops right here at my face. I have no authority over any person that sits under me for them to believe or to reject what's being brought. That is your choice. That is the people's choice. Amen. So what I say to you this morning, when people are getting up and people are walking out and people, amen, are looking around everywhere and playing with stuff. And, you know, I had a woman one time, every time I would preach in the church, she would get up and she would turn her Bible and she would open it up and just turn her whole self away from me and start reading the Bible. finally, I had to rebuke her. But I didn't rebuke her before I talked to her husband. And I said, you're going to have to talk to that woman. I said, because that woman is so much against me. Everybody else could get up. The singers could get up. The music could get up. The people testifying could get up. Boy, she would praise God, praise God. As soon as I got up, she'd take that Bible and turn just like that. Or play with her hair. It's always playing with her hair. Well, finally, it just got to me. And I talked to her husband about it. I said, listen, you're going to have to do something with that woman. That woman is against me, and she's causing a disturbance in the church. Because when she started doing all that, guess what everybody else was doing? They weren't paying attention to what I was saying. They was looking at her. They was watching her like, what's she doing, you know? You see what I'm saying? That is the way the devil operates. That's the way Satan operates, to try to get your attention, your focus off the Word of God and what's been spoken from the pulpit, to where everybody is this way and that way, and that's the work of the devil. Praise God. Amen. Finally, after I talked to her, he said, well, I can't do nothing with her. Well, finally, I had to rebuke the woman. But I didn't want to rebuke her. That's her husband's job to rebuke her. I don't have no authority over to come over here and rebuke any man's wife. Amen. That's that up to that husband. But when that husband can't do it, then I had to do it because she was causing a problem in the services. Amen. So listen, knowledge is being offered and knowledge is being given. People are going to reject it, but some are going to receive it. Them that reject it, they're going to squirm around and they can't stand it. It'd be best just to get them on out of the place. Amen. They would be best for them just to leave and have nothing to do with it. Don't never come back. Amen. Because if I can't help somebody, amen, I can't help people who don't pay no attention to me. You can't help nobody if they don't pay attention to you. Amen. If somebody's going to come up here and preach the Word of God, they've got something from God, hopefully. Well, if they've got something from God, guess what? I want to hear it. I want to hear. I'm waiting to hear what Brother Chad's got from the Lord tonight. And when Sister Glenda gets ready, I'm anxious to hear what the Lord has revealed to her. And I'm paying attention. I want to hear what thus saith the Word of God is. I'm not listening to Chad and I'm not listening to Glenda. I'm listening to what God is speaking through them, because it could be a help to me. Amen. So let's not let others cause us to miss out on what God is imparting, no matter who is ministering from this pulpit or wherever we travel. Let's not let all this activities and stuff that other people have pull us away from what God may be speaking to us. Amen. Let's be careful about that. And in Romans chapter 10, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, they wasn't saved in Paul's time. They're not saved today. They could only be saved through the gospel. Then he said this, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So in other words, you can have a zeal for God. You could be excited about God. You could go to church, amen, and you could pay tithes, and you could get up, and you could clap your hands, and you could worship, and you could do all the things that the word zeal implies, amen, but not have a knowledge of God. And without a real knowledge of God, I don't believe you can be saved. Without a real knowledge of God, I don't believe you can be blessed, because you will never understand how to be blessed unless you have knowledge of what the Word of God says, instructs you on how to be blessed. Come into church, amen, and doing through all the motions, amen, that's great and that's exciting. That is zeal. But if it's not according to knowledge, we're in serious trouble. Amen. I went to church as a young person, amen. You know, whenever we went to church, my dad would minister sometime. My grandfather was a minister. I sat in all them churches, you know, and I could see the zeal, and I had some kind of a zeal myself, but I wasn't saved. I didn't have a knowledge of God. I sat there under all that kind of preaching, still did not have a knowledge of God. You know why? It never penetrated into my heart. I heard those words, but they never really meant anything to me. Amen. How many of you have ever been in a service, amen, and when you could have not no more told what that preacher said than a man in the moon? You know why? Either the man didn't have nothing from God, or your mind was captivated on something else. Satan had captivated your mind. And you were wandering around and your mind was thinking about your job. It was thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. It was thinking about what just happened, or thinking about what's going to happen, or thinking about some carnal thought. And the whole service went by and you couldn't no more tell what was preached than a man in the moon. You missed out. If it was from God, you missed out on what God was speaking in that service. How many people do that? They're going to come and go that way. They're going to come. Amen. And they're going. A lot of them's going to come because they're used to. They're just carnal Christians. They're just used to a shout. They're just used to something exciting going on. They have a zeal for God. And a lot of them don't want any knowledge. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear what thus saith the Word of God is. They are carnal Christians. And you've got to remember, they're going to be everywhere. They're going to be everywhere we go. They're going to fill up a lot of places we go to. But there's going to be one or two, three or four maybe, that's really hungry for God and really want wisdom. They really want understanding. And they really do love God with all their heart. And they want that word. Those are the ones that I'm looking for. I'm not in this thing to have a good time. I'm not in this thing for to make a name for myself or for some kind of position. I'm not in it for that. I'm in this to impart what God has put in me. It has blessed me. The message on spirit, soul, and body. I know people get tired of hearing it, but I'm telling you, it has blessed me. It is unreal how much it has blessed me. And it's taken me from one step to another level, to another level, to another level. Opened up scriptures that even I had preached on and never really had a full revelation of that scripture until I received the revelation of spirit, soul, and body. In other words, it is beginning. It is only the beginning of a knowledge that God is imparting to every person that will love knowledge and want knowledge. I can't make people want knowledge. You can't make them want them. But I tell you what, God has his ways. I said, God has his ways. Amen. And then he says, you know, and Paul noted that, hey, they got a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. Were they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness? How many know there's a lot of folk, amen, in a movement today that's going about to establish their own righteousness, and they're ignorant about God's righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said this. He said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But then he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. He said, you know, I'm just about fed up with this situation. If you want to be ignorant, I just want you to let you be ignorant. In other words, if you want to be stupid, then go ahead and be stupid. But there is a knowledge, and he's not talking about, amen, natural wisdom here. He's talking about spiritual wisdom. Wisdom that God can impart to a person that's never had any formal education whatsoever. Amen. You might have a third grade education, but I tell you what, you can have the wisdom and the knowledge of God and understand it beyond, amen, someone that's graduated from Harvard. And that is the truth. That is the wisdom and that is the knowledge that God wants to impart. You know, sometimes people spend all this time figuring out stuff. Well, I've got a plan. I thought about this. I'm going to do this. Well, maybe I'll do it this way. Well, I'll think about doing it this way. Well, maybe I'm going to do it this way. And claim to be a Christian. Claim to be born again. If you are a Christian, you're born again. The first thing that you're going to have to acknowledge, you're stupid. You don't know what to do. Amen. In the natural, you don't know what to do. You cannot figure out what to do. Let God work it out for you. He's your Father. Before you were born again, your father was the devil. Now your father is God. Let God take care of you. Let God work it all out. That is a great knowledge to understand. God is in control. Let him be in control. And everything will work out for you. Amen. We don't have to be ignorant. And what he's talking about is, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, Paul's come to the place here that, hey, you know, if you don't want the knowledge of God, if you don't want the wisdom of God, there's nothing I can do about it. It's the power of choice. It's the power that God gave every one of us. A right to choose whether you want life, whether you want death, whether you want blessings, whether you want cursing, whether you want to live in divine health or you want to be sick the rest of your life. See, it's everybody's choice. Amen. But don't think for a minute that your faith is not going to be tried. You're going to be tried. And just as soon as I begin to think about, hey, I used to believe in divine health. I'm getting back into it. Guess what? Boy, the enemy attacks me on every side. You know why? My faith is being tried. Oh, you think you're going to make it without getting sick? What about this pain? Oh, God. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I said, I rebuke that. I refuse that pain. Before I come up here, I tell you what, if anybody ever come close to a heart attack, it's probably me. All of a sudden, it just wham, hit me. I thought, man, I feel like I'm fixing to have a heart attack. I said, that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm not going to have no heart attack. Amen? You know what? All these pains, you know what most people do when they have a pain? Call 911. They never pray. They never trust God. They never believe God. They never reject that feeling. They never reject what the devil is offering to them. They're going to call 911. Run to the drugstore. Get to the doctor. My God, take an aspirin. Do something. But they do everything except pray and believe and trust God. That's part of the knowledge that God has given us. He is our helper. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. Say amen or oh me. Amen or oh me, right? And Paul said it this way. This is what we're trying to impart to the people. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 17, he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now I want to stop right there, and I want to talk about that verse of Scripture. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, he's talking to the church. He's talking to people that are born again. He's talking to people that have been baptized. He's talking to people that love Jesus. Amen. But he's praying for them. And he's saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in the knowledge of him. He's saying that to a people that apparently, even though they're saved, they don't have a knowledge of God. And you know what I'm saying? And that's the way it is today. I'm not saying that people are not born again. I am simply saying most of the people, 99% of the people that's calling on Jesus today, do not have a knowledge of him. They do not have a revelation, a knowledge of God, and they didn't have it in Paul's time. If they had it, Paul would have not been praying for them that God would give them the spirit of revelation and the spirit of knowledge and understanding. Amen. Even though it comes with a package, amen, it's in your spirit, your mind has not been changed. Your soul has not been changed. It has not come into the image of God. It is still rejecting the knowledge of God. And we have to come to the place that we realize that power of choice and that power of rejection or acceptance is inside of every one of us. I can refuse it or I can accept it. I can reject knowledge or I can accept knowledge, and I can go on and be with Jesus. Praise God. Amen. It has nothing to do with being born again. These are people that were born again. And he continued to pray. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. See, Paul was preaching the same thing I've been preaching. He's preaching to the people the very same thing, that you might know what is the power that's in you. That you may understand that God is living in you. That there is a power in you. There is an anointing in you. There is a glory in you. There is everlasting life in you. There is everything that you need. It is already in you. And that's what Paul is preaching to the people. That your understanding would be enlightened. And you would have that knowledge that God is in you. This is what we're trying to impart to carnal-minded people. And that's why it is so hard. And that's why people get to looking all these different ways and playing with their phones and looking around and thinking about this and that. It's because they're not really wanting to or desiring to or understanding what God is doing in these last days. He is trying to wake up a sleeping giant of people, praise God, that has the ability to turn the world upside down. And that ability is inside of them. This is what Paul was talking about. This is what Paul was instructing the people of his era in. That they might have this knowledge. That they might have this revelation. That they might have this understanding. That power is toward usward. It's in you. I woke up this morning and I was praying. I said, now I understand your frustrations when you walked on the shores of Galilee. When you stood before the council, when you stood before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when you stood before your own disciples and you declared the wondrous works of God, and when they looked back at you with that blank stare, realized that they had no clue what you were talking about, how frustrating it must have been for the Lord of glory. How frustrating it must have been for Jesus to trying to impart revelation, spiritual knowledge to carnal people. He was the only one that had truth. One man in the whole entire earth had truth, and that was Jesus. Everybody else was carnal. Everybody else had no wisdom, no understanding, and no revelation, no knowledge of God. They thought they did, but they had no knowledge of God. Here was one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to invest, to impart revelation knowledge. The works that I do shall you do also. Letting him know, you can do the same thing I'm doing, boys, you can do also. Amen. All the things that he was doing, not only the works and the power, but the knowledge he was trying to. He said at one time, he'd get frustrated. He said, if you don't understand this, how will you understand anything that I'm saying to you? And even at the end of his ministry, at the end, you know, say John 14, 15, 16, and 17, when he's preaching to the 11, he's trying to let them understand about the Holy Spirit that was going to be given, that was going to come back, amen. You know, they had no clue what he was talking about. Can you imagine the frustration that Jesus had with his own 11 men that had been with him for 3.5 years? Still didn't understand what he was talking about. Philip said, oh, be it far from you, Lord. You know, Peter did, be it far from you, Lord. Philip said, oh, you say you know the way, know the way. You said that, but we don't know what you do. We don't know the way. Absolutely rebuked the Lord. I believe in St. John 14 when Jesus said, I am the way. You know the way. You know where I'm going. Philip said, oh, we don't know the way. We don't know what you're talking about. Can you imagine his frustration? Then the frustration of Peter, frustration of Paul, like he's right into the Ephesian church. He's right into the people, amen. They're supposed to have the Holy Ghost, supposed to be born again, supposed to have some knowledge. He's right into them, trying to get them to see the power of God that Jesus had put inside of them. Can you imagine his frustration? And I believe that's one of the reasons he said, hey, if any of you are going to be ignorant, then let him be ignorant. He just plumb frustrated with the people. So why would we in this hour and this time, when the carnally minded is predominant no matter where you go, why should I be frustrated? Why should you be frustrated? Amen. When we start on this journey, remember I said, Brother Chai, I said, hey, we're going to have a good time. Man, we're just going to have a good time. And I'm having a good time. But I want all of us to have a good time. Amen. Brother Blair, that was just born in Lassiter. Brother Blair, boy, he's all concerned. Hey, brother, he's, I don't care. He said, if I was you, I would never come back up here. I tell you what, he was back and forth. You know, these people, the way they're acting, everything, you know. Praise God. Amen. But see, the thing about it is, you can't look at the situation of others. What about you? Jesus would have come for one person. He said the true shepherd would leave the 99 and go to the one. Amen. I would come for you guys. I would come for you guys. Because we have to. If you want knowledge, if you want wisdom, if you want understanding, if you want the revelation of God, if you want to build on what God has already deposited in you, and you see the glory, and you see, amen, what God is really going to do, praise God, I'm glad to be here. And I want to build you up in the most holy faith. And I'm going to have a good time doing it. But I want everybody, I want Brother Chad and all of us, I want us to have a good time in what we're doing. And realize that some's going to walk out, some's going to reject, some's not going to accept. But there's going to be some, or we wouldn't be here. There's going to be somebody that's going to be blessed, somebody that's going to be helped, somebody that's going to be delivered, somebody that's going to be saved, somebody that's going to have an impartation from God. Amen. Or else we wouldn't be here. Amen. So that's my hope, and that's my desire. But the consequences of rejecting knowledge is captivity. It's being captured. It's letting the devil capture your thoughts, capture your mind, capture your destiny, change your destiny. Amen. Put a snare in front of you. Put a trap in front of you. Every time, it's all of the mind. How many knows it's all in your mind? It's in between your two ears. It's the way you're thinking. It's right there. I know we want to blame God, or we want to blame the devil, or we want to blame somebody else. But the real fact of the matter is, it's us as individuals. We're going to be successful in what God's called us to do. Amen. not because, but of one reason. God has called us to do a work, and when God calls you to do a work, He puts everything you need to accomplish that job inside of you. He's not going to send one single solitary person out on the mission field without putting inside that person everything that they're going to need to be successful. And the only thing that would stop me and stop you is this thing right here we call a brain. Carnally thinking is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. So this is the thing. You can clearly see why I'm preaching so much about the mind and how we got to change your mind, because I can absolutely read the thoughts of a lot of people. Amen. And those thoughts are negative. They want to accept it, but see, they can't get beyond that soulish rim. They can't get beyond that reasoning. That reasoning. Oh, it's got to be this way. No. They can't get beyond it. But the consequences, see, of a rejection of knowledge is death. That is the ultimate goal of the devil, is to bring death. And listen very carefully. You could sing the songs of Zion. You could preach the word. You can shout and you can run and you can dance and you can do all the zealous activities of a religious person and still reject knowledge. Still not have the knowledge of God. Churches are filled with carnal Christians that do it every Sunday morning. Amen. But my hopes, not only for us and those that are receiving what we're saying, is that we will be a people that's going to bring forth more fruit in this last day. Amen. Praise God. So I'm not going to reject knowledge. When you're speaking to me, I'm going to be listening to you. Because I believe if you get that opportunity to be in this pulpit, it's going to come from God. It's going to come from God. Whether it comes from me, whether it comes from Chad, whether it comes from Glenda, it's going to come from God. It's going to be God's word. Because I believe they're taking this as seriously as I am about what's coming forth here. I know as a young minister myself, man, I travail over stuff. And I still do it today. I'm still troubled. I'm still nervous before I even take the pulpit. There's very few times that I really know what God wants me to speak. So that nervousness is always there with me, and I know it is with Brother Chad, and got to be with Sister Glenda. Because we want to obey God. We want to bring a message not from ourselves, not from something we have, you know, gotten over some kind of other means other than from the Spirit of God. We want to deliver our souls. Amen. So when things happen and activities start mumbling around, people start walking out, donking out, don't fall into that same spirit. Amen? Because that's what they do. That's how the enemy uses people to bring confusion. I mean, God is not the author of confusion. And when he brings that confusion, well, what happened? Why is it? What's that? You know? Somebody could bring a baby in, and they want to start goo-gooing. Goo-goo-goo-goo-goo. You know what? And a man of God is bringing a message from the throne room of God, and everybody, goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo. Goo-gooing with a baby. Now, I don't have a problem goo-gooing with a baby, but I got a big problem when it's being brought and when it's being done, when there's an anointing and there's a word coming forth. That is a trick of the devil. And the devil is using the mama, and I'm not saying the devil's using the baby because he don't know what's going on or she don't know what's going on, but the devil is using the mama or the grandma for goo-gooing. How many times have you seen it? I mean, I've seen it. I don't know, probably hundreds of times. It is a trick of the devil to bring your mind and your attention under the captivity of the devil, where you're going to miss what God's saying. How many believes God deposits in you something from this word by the anointing? How many of you have ever sat under a ministry or a word, and you know you feasted on that word, and then maybe the next day you couldn't remember everything was being taught, and maybe next month or a month or two went by, and maybe you was laying in your bed one night and all of a sudden that word come back to you that was ministered. God puts a word in us under the anointing. Amen. And I believe in a fivefold ministry. I don't believe in a monkey see, monkey do, and a one-man rule and all that. I believe God can give every person in here a word from the Lord that share with everybody, that we could all be built up. But if our attentions are pulled away from what's really happening here, Amen. And hey, we're only in here for what? 2 hours at the most. And the preaching's usually, I've been trying to keep, hold it down to maybe, what, 45 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour. Anybody can sit 30 minutes without squirming. Amen. Y'all ain't playing very much amen in here. Praise God. Amen. So how many believes that God is imparting a knowledge today? Amen. I'm not interested in some sermons. Amen. I'm interested in a word from God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Attitude check. Is everybody happy? Got to keep them attitude checks. I'm happy. I'm telling you, I am happy. Inside of me, I'm telling you what, I am just bursting with happiness. I've got joy. And I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy away. Remember the message Sister Glenda preached up there? Praise God, or in Illinois. Hey, I've got that joy. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy away. I'm not going to let some demon-possessed person steal my joy away. Or somebody that the devil is using to distract me. No, 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 no. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep my attention and my focus on Jesus. How many's going to do it with me? Praise God. Amen. Remember, you got power and you've got authority over all demon spirits and forces. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can shut that thing down. Amen. Now.